And now the game where we invite famous people on to answer questions carefully selected to be about something they know nothing about. Henry Rollins first became famous as the lead singer of the seminal hardcore punk band Black Flag. He then went on to form his own band, the Henry Rollins Band, but also pursued a career as a writer, a spoken word artist, a film critic, generally a guy with a lot he wanted to talk to us about. He has traveled the world, including some stints entertaining U.S. troops in combat zones with the USO, and he's just launched a new talk show on the Independent Film Channel. Henry Rollins, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you.
Now, Henry, let's go back to the beginning. This is, of course, a public radio show with a public radio audience. We all grew up listening to musicals and Joni Mitchell. So for those of us who weren't there in the early 80s, could you describe Black Flag and the punk music scene that it was a part of?
Well, it was some angry music and an interesting time in independent music when it was just finding its feet, and there was not always the greatest attention paid to these bands, and so you struggled. You know, a lot of the towns were not happy that you showed up, so the local law enforcement types would come down, or sometimes the churches would come to protest you, or the mayor would come and personally shut down the show. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of bands, you know, were bringing forth this intense music. Black Flag was one of many.
We heard this story, if you can confirm it, if it's true, or dissuade us if it's not, that you actually got the gig as their lead singer by jumping up on stage during one of Black Flag's shows and just starting to perform with them.
Well, it was an after party, and they were friends of mine, and I had to drive to work 5 hours south in Washington, D.C., so I asked them to play a song for me they had a song about going to work called Clocked In. And I kind of looked at the singer and looked at the microphone, and he said, well, here, yeah, you sing it. And so I sang it the way I thought it should be done, you know, with a lot of intensity. And I gave the mic back and drove to work. And the next day they called me and said, well, we're actually auditioning singers because the singer wants to play rhythm guitar. And we liked what we saw the other night. Would you come back up here and audition? And I had nothing to lose. So I took an Amtrak train back up to New York. Met them in the East Village, and we played two sets of their music, and I didn't really know the lyrics. I just kind of improvised it, and they took a band vote, and I was in, and that was about 25 years ago in a couple of months.
Wow.
You may have just caused a huge security problem for bands across the world.
Yeah.
Because that notion that you just jump up...
Yeah.
A lot of people think that they're going to be discovered musically while sitting in the crowd.
Yeah, they'll probably just get beat up.
True.
Yeah. You know,
same with us, by the way, as a warning. If you try to get up on this stage and try to be wry... Mm-hmm.
You'll totally... Right from your own.
We don't ask questions, man. No. They just take it out.
So, but talk to me, I mean, if you can, how does one go, and I know it's been a long journey for you, from singer of this hardcore punk band in the early 80s to a talk show host? I mean, that's a strange trajectory, isn't it?
Well, the last quarter of a century has been very strange for me. So a small production company came to me and said, we like you for this talk show, film review show, because we see that you're in films, you like films, you have an opinion, and you have a big mouth, which is perfect. Would you like to give this a shot? And I said, sure. So.
And how is your approach to being a talk show host different from, you know, your more typical sort of Entertainment Weekly?
Well, it's probably not, but the format of the show is a little different in that since we're on cable, it's uncensored. And so the guests often open up a bit more. And the line of questioning is a bit different in that when we have a celebrity guest on, I don't care who they're dating or what they're driving. I want to know about their work. And so usually the artists are very happy to talk about the films they're working on rather than what they wore to an award show. Because, you know, we have no interest in that. We just want to know, you know, what makes them interesting. And I only invite people on the show that I'm interested in talking to or that I already know and have a kind of a rapport with.
Now, you have a reputation, maybe primarily through your spoken word work over the last few years, as being an angry guy. Is that fair?
I'm a conscientious American, therefore I have to be angry.
Yeah, the natural response. Now, we also know that you've spent a lot of time doing, as I mentioned earlier, these USO tours. You've gone overseas, sometimes into combat zones to entertain the troops.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you've got fans among the young people who are serving in our armed forces, but how do they react to some of the things you have to say about our current administration and current policies?
Well, when you're in places like Afghanistan and Kuwait and Iraq, that those topics really aren't on. And the last thing they need is some guy, you know, from Hollywood telling them that their war is wrong. And we can have that debate when they're, you know, back home and we're in the parking lot of, you know, some venue, and we can talk about the rights and wrongs of the Bush administration. So when I'm out there, what they hear from me is, you know, you guys are great, hang in there. You know, I try and crack them up, and I wouldn't do anything that would be distracting or deleterious to morale.
Sure. You toured with Jessica Simpson, right?
No.
No, we thought, we know that she did a USO tour, and then we
That's fantastic. I'm sure she made young men frustrated everywhere she went.
I know.
All a young guy needs is something he can't have.
Exactly. Well, Henry Rollins, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
The one moment in the past 100 years when San Francisco had affordable real estate.
We refer, of course, to the immediate aftermath of the San Francisco earthquake of 1906, 100 years ago this week. We're going to ask you 3 questions about the worst natural disaster in our nation's history that cannot, in any fair sense, be blamed on Michael Brown.
No.
Get 2 right. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. Carl, who is Henry Rollins playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Jay Baum of New York City.
Ready to go?
Yeah, just let me apologize to Jay before I even do anything.
All right, Henry, here's your first question. It wasn't just a devastating earthquake, of course. It was the terrible fire that followed. And if that wasn't bad enough, the authorities ended up making things even worse by doing what? A, spraying whiskey on the fire in lieu of water. B, suggesting that refugees escape the fire by swimming to Alcatraz. Or C, by fighting the fire with barrels of gunpowder.
Mm. I think I'll go for the whiskey.
The whiskey, as you might in private life.
Yes, always, yes.
Always. No, it was the gunpowder. It was widely believed in that time that you could fight a fire by blowing up buildings in its path to eliminate fuel, sort of as a fire break.
Oh.
But the expert on this technique had been killed in the earthquake, and his replacement was drunk. True fact. So instead of dynamite, they used gunpowder, which doesn't so much blow things up as burn them really quickly, and it made things much worse. All right, you have 2 more questions. You can get these right, you can still win.
Right.
Now, if you had been on the streets of San Francisco on the morning of the quake, you could have seen which of these. Was it A, a parade of dogs all spontaneously and silently running as fast as they could toward the Castro District? B, opera legend Enrico Caruso running around with a towel on his neck and an autographed picture of Teddy Roosevelt under his arm? Or C, half of the University of California football team emerging naked from the Nepenthe brothel on Taylor Street?
Wow. I'll have to go for Caruso.
You're right, sir.
Oh, wow.
He had sung at the Opera House the night before, and there are various legends about what he did the next day. One story has him going to the balcony of his hotel and singing loudly just to see if the earthquake had affected his voice.
Mm. He was also wondering why they blew up his house trying to fight the fire.
Yeah.
Well, why was he carrying an autographed photograph of T.R.?
Well, we believe that it was because he had just received it and he didn't want to lose it.
Didn't want to lose it.
Or maybe it was a totem. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard this about the San Francisco earthquake, that there are many religious types who believe that God sent that disaster to San Francisco because he was angry that it was not yet gay enough?
That, like Pat Roberts?
Yeah. More color, he said. Boom. All right. Now, this is exciting because you have 1 more question. If you get this correct, you will win our prize for our listener. It was not a total disaster, the San Francisco earthquake. There was at least 1 happy story from the quake. Was it A, cat which had been stuck in a tree for 2 days was shaken out into the waiting arms of its owner? B, a man who had been paralyzed entirely for years suddenly regained his mobility, inspired by the desire to whack a looter over the head? Or C, the Fairmont Hotel, its view of the Golden Gate suddenly improved by all the buildings in front of it burning down, was able to raise its rates?
I'll go for the whack and the looter.
That appeals to you on some level.
Yeah, I think He just became inspired.
Yes, because as we always say, what would Henry Rollins do? And the answer would be...
Whack him.
Whack him. You're right, sir. This man, who had been paralyzed for years, couldn't move. He'd been placed carefully in a park by his friends, along with his belongings. And a looter came by and tried to grab the stuff. So this man raised his arm, grabbed a piece of wood, and started whacking him in the head. Carl, how did Henry Rollins do in our quiz?
He had two correct answers, Peter, so Henry wins for Jay Baum.
Congratulations. Well done. How does this, rank up there with the other achievements in your long career, Henry?
I think this is probably the only achievement I'll take with me.
There you go. Henry Rollins is a musician, speaker, actor, writer, and the host of IFC's The Henry Rollins Show. Watch it at 10 p.m. on Saturday nights. Henry Rollins, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I feel the